Hello, everyone. My name is Carolyn. Welcome to the Saving for Your First Home podcast. I am the CEO of The Financial Moment. We offer money coaching for those who are ready and willing to make financial changes in their lives. For the most of us, there comes a point in time where we think to ourselves, it would be really nice to own property. But it sometimes can feel like a pipe dream and not very easily obtainable. So I created this podcast to give you all the information and tools you need to take the steps forward toward home ownership. Take it from me, my husband and I started our lives together working part-time jobs with a young child. Fast forward through many hiccups and failures, we stepped our feet into our very first home. For us, it was a pile of dirt, but eventually our family home was built on that dirt. Now we are in the midst of growing our investment property portfolio. I created the Savings for Your First Home podcast to give you easy, actionable tools for you to do the same. If you have that same gut feeling that I did and want to create a life for yourself and your growing family, but don't know where to start, you are in the right place. Let's do this. So first things first, welcome to the Saving for Your First Home podcast. I got a couple questions submitted from my listeners and some from IG, so I thought I'd gather all that together. We got four questions that were submitted, so I'm going to go through them, and I hope you guys find this helpful. The first one was, where do you put positive cash flow? Now, I don't know if you remember, I talked about in my podcast what positive cash flow is. There's positive and negative. And what that means is you have your income coming in and then your expenses going out. And at the end of the day, once you minus your expenses from your income, do you have positive cash flow or do you have negative cash flow? Negative is when your expenses are a little too high and your income is not able to keep up. And this is when you can kind of find yourself into some debt. Positive cash flow now means that you have some money left over at the end of the day. Now, that's the place where you want to be because you can use that money to finance your goals. And so one of the questions that I had is, where do I put my positive cash flow? How do I allocate it? Should I put it into an emergency fund or should I put it for more additional mortgage payments because, you know, the interest rates are going up? So my answer to this is an interesting one because it depends, right? So if you are close to the end of your mortgage, let's say you have 5 years left or it's coming towards the end and your interest rates are going up and you're going to be losing all that time that you kind of gained when the interest rates were low, I would say put a little extra onto your mortgage so that your amortization doesn't keep increasing and you end up further and further out, right? That makes more sense because you want to kind of keep up with your timeline. But if you are mid-range or you just recently bought a home, then I would say kind of ride out this wave, right? Like, you know, maybe it's possible to extend out your amortization a little bit to save yourself some cash flow problems. I'm not saying to not increase your mortgage payment, but you could allocate that money to other areas as well. So if you have some positive cash flow, perhaps you need to create an emergency fund. And now this is where you would need at least 3 to 6 months worth of salary saved for an emergency. And this could be because maybe you lose your job or there's something that happens. And, you know, you need that money. And so it's very important to create that emergency fund. So I would highly recommend that you take a portion of your positive cash flow and put it towards your emergency fund. Now, this is not a one or the other type thing. The additional mortgage payment can be done alongside of this emergency fund being built. Rome wasn't built in a day and neither will this emergency fund. But just take some time, make sure that you're putting something towards that emergency fund. It is so important, especially as we head into a possible recession. Now, the allocation of funds is really based on your goals. So if you went through that exercise of looking at what your top 3-5 goals are, it could be short-term goals like a vacation or your kids that need some money for activities or whatever that is. Or it could be a long-term goal like saving for a home, or it can be something else that's like a major purchase. You really have to prioritize. So I would say create a list and number it from 1 to 5. And your highest priority would be the one that gets the most money. The lowest priority gets the least amount of money. And that's kind of how you allocate it. You just do it based on what your own personal goals are. The next question that we got was, what is better, to use a credit card or debit card? Again, very big debate, because both devices are good for particular reasons. So I'm going to start with the credit cards. If you're in a financial position where you pretty much have your budget set, you are a disciplined person, and you have money left over, and you don't find yourself kind of going overboard every month, then a credit card is a great tool to use because, you know, they have points advantages, cash back, all sorts of things. But the key to it is paying it off at the end of every month. Don't let it sit or roll over that due date, because then you're going to be hit with interest, and the interest is high on a credit card. So I would say for the disciplined ones, yes, definitely credit cards are a great tool. You can use them for your everyday stuff, and you can use them for your bills, lots of things. And before you know it, you've gained a ton of points, right? And it protects you as well. It has some safety features. Now, this is where credit cards become a problem. If you do not have that system in place and you are not considered a disciplined person, credit cards can push you further into debt. And this is what they don't tell you. Right? I mean, the Visa, MasterCard, Amex, all these companies are massive companies. It's not because everybody's paying off their credit cards right away. It's because people don't pay them off, and the interest is so high that they're barely paying the minimum payments. And that is why these companies are so massive. So you really have to know yourself. Who are you when it comes to money? Because if you are a person that is not disciplined, you can find yourself deeper and deeper into debt, because you're thinking, oh, I'm getting points, oh, I can do this. And yet you don't have a budget in mind. You're not paying attention to how much is actually racking up towards the end of the month. And boom, you're hit with a bill where you don't have the cash to pay for it. So very, very touchy subject, because it really depends on you. It depends on who you are as a person. If you're anything like I was, staying on top of your budget is not an easy task. Paycheck to paycheck would go by, and you're no further ahead. For my listeners, I am giving you this free guide that is going to take you to the next level. It's got 10 easy tips to follow to help you stay on track with your budget. Just head to thefinancialmoment.com/budget-tips. Enter your information, and you can download this guide right now. All right, so next question up was, what is the best way to pay down debt? Now, there is two methods that are most popular, I would say. There's lots of methods, but two that are most popular, and that is the snowball method and the avalanche method. Funny how they're both winter acronyms, not sure why. Anyway, the snowball method is where you list all your debt in order. And it's in the order of the amount. So amount that's owing. So your smallest would be on top and your largest amount would be on the bottom. So if I owe $2,000 as my smallest debt and I owe $10,000 as my highest debt, the $10,000 would be at the bottom. And then we start to pay down each one in order of the amount. So I would tackle the $2,000 debt first. And so the majority of my positive cash flow would go to that particular debt first. And all the other debts I would be paying the minimum payment on, and make sure to pay that minimum payment on time, right? And then as that $2,000 is paid off, then you can move to the next one. You feel a sense of accomplishment when you do that, and it gives you the incentive to continue to pay down that debt. So I would highly recommend that method, because it really gives you that snowball effect, right? You're getting some momentum. You're paying off each one, one by one. And you're still gaining your credit score because by paying off the minimum payments on each of the other ones, right? So it's a win-win. Now, in the avalanche method, you do the same thing. The only difference is that you sort it by the interest rate. Right? You sort it by the interest rate, and the highest interest rate gets tackled first, because technically, by doing that, you're going to save more money. The more you put down on a high interest rate debt, you're going to save more interest, right, overall. So that's why this method is important, because you actually save money in the long scheme of things. The problem is if that debt is super high, like for example, let's take the $10,000 one, say that was my highest interest debt, it's going to take me a little bit of time to pay that $10,000 off, depending how fast I can pay it. And so you don't get that momentum. You don't get that feeling of satisfaction to move on to the next one, right? So it really, again, it depends on personality. Definitely, I would kind of compare the two and see which one would do the best. And then finally, my last question that I got was, what budget is right for me? All these questions, it really depends on your own personal choices in life and your own personality. What would you choose? The first one a lot of people talk about is the 50-30-20 rule. And it's called a money rule budget. And it's really for beginners because all you have to do when the money comes in, 50% of it goes to your necessity, your essential items. 30% goes to discretionary expenses, could be groceries, whatever. And then 20% goes to savings and to debt. So as soon as that money comes in, that percentage gets divvied out and the budget's done. It's really easy. The key here is to make sure that you kind of fall in line with the percentages or create a percentage that works for you. The necessary essentials, I would say rent, mortgage payments, lighting, heat, whatever, electricity even is now an essential, right? So those things fall into essential items. And that is 50% of your income. So check it out and see if you really add up to 50%. Because some people can be higher and some people can be lower. So it depends on your situation. Again, what you have more control over is your discretionary expenses. So if you're on a mission to buy a home or you have some big financial long-term goals, then you might want to reduce that discretionary expenses so that your savings can be a bit higher. Or if you have debt, then maybe you want your debt payments to be a bit higher. So this is where you can play around with the percentages. But keep it simple. You just take the money in, divvy it out, done. So that's really for someone who is very new to budgeting. I would highly recommend that method. Then the next one is a zero-based budget. Now, a zero-based budget is for your nerds, I guess, like me, the numbers person, who likes to track things. They love Excel or, you know, they're writing it all down. This is for you. The zero-based budget budgets out every single dollar, right down to the penny. You should know when that paycheck comes in where exactly your money is going to go, down to the penny. This is a very itemized budget and it's very detailed. This is where your monthly income is pretty steady, right? It's not going to change from month to month. It's not going to change from pay to pay. And you can align it with your goals fairly easily and you're disciplined. This is the kind of person that would be suitable for a zero-based budget. And then a lot of people talk about paying yourself first. Now, this is a type of budget too. However, it doesn't mean to go treat yourself to the spa every week. Get that. Right? It means that you take your money when it comes in and you allocate it to your savings and your debt first before you do all the essentials. So it's a little bit different. Again, it's a feeling of accomplishment. You're going to increase your savings pot. You're going to be paying down that debt. You're going to feel a sense of accomplishment. So that money is allocated right off the bat. And then you go and pay all your essential bills. And then what's left over is your discretionary funds. That method kind of gives you that incentive that, you know what, I am working towards myself. I'm funding my emergency fund. I'm putting away for my savings. I'm saving for a long-term goal. It's really paying yourself first. Then the next one is the envelope system. Now, this system has been around for a very long time, and because cash is king, it's all about cash. And everything that comes out of your account, you've allocated and you put it into envelopes, right? You put it into envelopes, and then when the money's done, it's done. However, you know, in our society that we live in today, a lot of things are debit or electronic fund transfers and things like that. So how do we implement an envelope system when everything is very electronic? So I would say you can create separate accounts for each one of your buckets. So for example, if you have groceries, you can actually open a bank account, like a sub account under your main bank account, transfer the money that you're allocating to groceries into this account, and then use that account to buy your groceries. When the money's done, it's done. It's the same principle as having a physical envelope with cash in it. This is for someone who is a little bit loosey-goosey on the self-control, right? Needs a little bit more self-control. Just give yourself a number and stick to that number. When it's done, you can't go over into another pocket. It's funny how it is with cash, right? Because it's different with credit. With cash, you kind of are more hesitant to spend it. I'm sure some of you have had $20 that sit in your wallet for like weeks on end and you never spend it. But yet, it's easy to tap and use your debit and Visa card, right? So it's something about having cash that you kind of hold on to it. You try not to spend it. And so that's why this method works really well, because when the money is done, it's done. So those were my questions for today. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you for listening. We are committed to helping you place your very first steps into your new home. See you next time.